Nearly 50 years ago, 14-year-old Emmett Till, a black teenager from Chicago, was brutally murdered in rural Mississippi by two white men after he allegedly whistled at a white woman. The year was 1955, and there had been several racially motivated killings in the South, but the Till death drew worldwide attention, in large part because of the persistence of Emmett Till's mother, Mamie. Mamie Till Mobley died yesterday in Chicago after suffering a heart attack in her home. Up to the end, she carried on the fight for justice for her son, whom she called Beau. She spent much of last year working with filmmaker Stanley Nelson on a PBS documentary about his death. Nelson says Mamie Till, who was widowed in World War II, sent her only son to visit relatives in the South. At the time, she knew that carried risks.
The two worlds were so different. The world of Chicago and the world of the Delta, Mississippi were just so different that one of the things that all parents did was to let their children know what to expect in the South.
And I want to go ahead and play for you a little bit of tape, because Mamie Till told you exactly what she said to her son.
I let them know that Mississippi was not Chicago. And when you go to Mississippi, you're living by an entirely different set of rules. It is yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. And Bo, if you see a white woman coming down the street, you get off the sidewalk and drop your head. Don't even look at her.
In the year 2003, it's hard for some to imagine a situation where black men literally had to step off the sidewalk if a white woman approached. But that's exactly what happened in rural Mississippi and in so many other places in the South.
I think so. And I think one of the things that was so fascinating for me in doing the film was that it wasn't that long ago. You know, we talked to a number of people in the film, you know, who had vivid memories of it. You know, people who are still young and vibrant, who can remember how it was back then. So we're talking about an America that's changed a lot, but, you know, an America that existed in not the really distant past.
For a black man to whistle at a white woman in rural Mississippi in 1955, what did that act represent?
Well, first I should say that, you know, Emmett Till was not a man. He was 14 years old and had just turned 14. But I think to whistle at a white woman represented a bunch of different things. To Emmett Till, it represented a joke. But to the white men and to the woman that he whistled at, it was something very, very serious. It was a breaking of the moral code. And they felt that it was something that they had to avenge.
What happened?
In the middle of the night, the woman's husband and her brother-in-law came in without covering their faces, without even trying to hide who they were, and kidnapped Emmett Till right out of his house. He then was missing for 3 or 4 days, and after that, his body was found in the river.
You say that these two men, they were half-brothers, they didn't try to hide their identities, and yet it was very difficult to find witnesses who were willing to come forward.
Yeah, I think at that point, no white person would testify against them. I mean, that just couldn't and wouldn't be done. And black people in the South were scared. What amazed me was more that people actually did come forward and did testify at the trial. I think that was what was really amazing.
Mamie Till insisted that her son's body be displayed in an open casket. And the funeral director tried to talk her out of this.
Mr. Rayner asked me, he said, do you want me to touch the body up? I said, no, Mr. Rayner, let the people see what I've seen. I was just willing to bear it all. I think everybody needed to know what had happened to Emmett Till.
I think Mamie Till's decision to leave the casket open was just an amazing thing to do. And I think that really changed so many things in this country, because for so many people, the sight of Emmett Till, the way he looked, because he was brutally, brutally beaten, that changed so many people's hearts and minds and the way they looked at the civil rights movement.
I saw that his tongue was choked out. I noticed that the right eye was lying on midway his cheek. I noticed that his nose had been broken, like somebody took a meat chopper and chopped his nose in several places.
The casket was left for the public to see for 3 days, and there were 50,000 people in Chicago who came forward just to see what had happened to Emmett Till.
Now, that's a bit unusual. I mean, usually a wake lasts for a couple of hours. 3 days seems like a long time.
Because at that point, by that point, Emmett Till's murder and what had happened to Emmett Till had become, you know, a national news story. And people wanted to see for themselves what had happened to this boy. One of the things that people did constantly was send their kids down to the South for the summer. So there was a real identification with this 14-year-old black boy who had gone down to the South to visit his uncle and had come back brutally mutilated.
What was the scene like in the church?
The scene in the church is just incredible. I mean, one of the things that we were fascinated by in when we worked on the film is that there's footage of the funeral. I think, as Mamie Till said, one out of every five people who viewed the body needed assistance to get outside of the church.
The scene in the courtroom was also very tense.
It's kind of the classic scene of the Southern courtrooms with the fan and people fanning themselves and the fans going around on, in the ceiling. I think, as Mamie said, it was they took the temperatures being 118 degrees in the courtroom. It's just an incredible, incredible scene in the courtroom. I think that what they did was they let the cameras roll when the court wasn't in session. So you see the court right up until the judge hits the gavel.
They were eventually acquitted.
They were eventually acquitted of all charges, and later on they confessed to the murders.
Did Mamie Till Mobley tell you how she responded when she heard that they had sold their story, their confession, to Look magazine for $4,000? Did she read that article, and how did she react to it?
One of the things I remember most about Mamie said that, you know, by that point, she was through with those guys, that she didn't care. You know, these were the killers of her son. She knew that beforehand. But now she had gone on, and she wanted the story of Emmett Till to get out so that there would be no more Emmett Tills.
How did she keep his story alive?
Mamie was willing to talk, to go anywhere, and to talk about that case, and at great emotional risk to herself. Mamie could never find closure. The story could never personally end for her. The story would always be going on in her life.
Stanley, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Stanley Nelson, his film, The Murder of Emmett Till, is scheduled to air on PBS's American Experience later this month. Emmett's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, died yesterday in Chicago. A new way to gauge bestsellers finds more sci-fi and religious books on the list. That's coming up on All Things Considered.